Welcome, everyone, my brothers and sisters, those in our sanctuary and those who are joining us online. And I especially want to thank our special visitors of Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. While Pastor Michael is on vacation, he has asked me to deliver a sermon message today. I have gladly accepted that invitation. However, it might be wise for me to state that I have not been called to be a pastor teacher. However, I have been called to serve the Lord, and even if I do not have the ability, I do have the availability of the Holy Spirit to guide me in preparation and presentation. He has never not been with me. In our Christian walk, as we pursue progress in our sanctification, I think spiritual self-examination is an essential element of being a genuine Christian. Just as we look at signposts and our extended travels to ensure our direction, Scripture brings forth many directions in our walk with Jesus. God has given us His revealed word to guide and instruct us. He has given us His Spirit to indwell us, to empower us with His illuminating vision, to assist understanding of the word. He's given us access to Him, His Son, and His Spirit, to commune with Him in prayer. He has surrounded Christians with His providential care to direct us in our daily lives, and He has done and is doing all of this through His loving kindness and steadfast faithfulness. But brothers and sisters, no gift received is of any value unless you open it. Consider our time spent in worldly pursuits as compared to our time spent in the spiritual realm. As an example, how much time do we spend in the procurement, preparation, and eating of food to nourish our bodies in relation to the time spent in the spiritual to nourish our souls? I'd like to bring forth part of a Puritan prayer that touched my heart recently. For part of that prayer, the Puritan said, "Father, teach me the happy act of attending to things temporal with a mind intent on things eternal." Now, I'm not suggesting there needs to be an equal balance, but I fear for most of us there is a grave imbalance that we are oblivious to. That is why frequent self-examination is so vital to our spiritual condition, especially the condition of our faith, love, trust, and obedience to our Lord, King, Savior, Christ Jesus. Another point to consider is that we need to exercise care that we don't have unintentional detours of too much focus on our spiritual ministries and activities at the expense of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our primary need is our relationship with Jesus. C- Consider also the examination of our physical bodies. Each day, most of us partake in personal hygiene matters to renew ourselves back to a condition of cleanliness, essentially taking off the old to allow the new to replace it. The focus of our spiritual hygiene matters should have the same focus, but with much more intent. In the fall of 1998, I listened to a John MacArthur tape sermon entitled, Examine Yourself to See If You're in the Faith. It was about an hour in duration. I listened to it 9 times over the following week. I was convicted that I was going to hell. The message led me to my conversion the Sunday after Thanksgiving of that year. And what I learned afterwards, in August of that year, my wife had been praying for my salvation, and I never knew it. Thank you, Sharon. Prior to this time, I spent over 30 previous years where I thought I was a believer, and as such, I was going to heaven. My false understanding led me to think that although I wasn't totally a good person, I wasn't evil either. I was in a state of neutrality, and that was good enough. Through the above-mentioned message, my grievous errors were exposed. I wasn't aware of God's standard. I was judging myself by mine. As I came to be exposed to God's word, I learned that through repentance, that those who are saved, they love him, they believe in him, and long to manifest that love by serving him. And then I read Malachi 3:18, which I'd like to share with you. God's standard, not mine. I'll get there. These are the words revealed in Malachi. Then once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. The distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. That's just one of many definitions I found in the Old Testament concerning God's standard for wickedness, God's standard for evil. Had I remained in my impenitent state, my eternal destiny would have been sealed. The agony and torment of wrath and fire awaited me, and I knew it not. So today, I would like to briefly look at a few passages of Scripture to assist us in our understanding what does it mean to examine ourselves. I imagine over the centuries, volumes of expository writings have addressed this passage. However, I have elected to call upon the Holy Spirit to guide me through his illuminating power to bring forth this sermon message today. To this end, I would like to read out of 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul states very simply but profoundly, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Simple yet profound. Examine and test should be our response in our Christian faith to undergird our belief with self-examination. Just as school children are exposed to quizzes and tests, we must remember that their purposes are to prepare them for their final exam. Our final exam awaits us. For we find in Romans chapter 14, 10 and 11, for we all will stand before the judgment seat of God, and then each of us will give an account of himself. Before we proceed to examine and test ourselves, it may be prudent to understand their meaning. According to Noah Webster's dictionary of 1828, not 1928, 1828, examine is defined as to inspect carefully with a view to discover truth or the real state of a thing, to search or inquire into facts or circumstances by interrogation, a view to form a correct opinion or judgment, in general, to search, scrutinize, explore with a view to discover truth. Test is defined as any critical trial or examination that with which anything is compared for proof of its genuineness, to prove the truth by the same soundness of principle. According to the Strong's Dictionary of the Hebrew and Greek words, examine is defined as to scrutinize, entice, discipline, to make an experience of, to pierce or search into. Test is explained as to prove, discern, examine, approving to be qualified. For us to utilize the defined characteristics of examine and test, we must first absorb them into our brains. But head knowledge does not always translate into heart knowledge. Knowing that God is not looking for perfection but direction in our time on earth, there have been times I thought of my progression in faith as an automotive manual transmission. That's right, I said an automotive manual transmission. Allow me to explain. If we remain in neutral, we may be safe, but go nowhere. Shifting into first gear will get us started. But to stay in this gear may make us overly cautious to proceed at the rate the Spirit desires for us to travel. And if we shift quickly through the four gears to fourth gear, we will move rapidly, but perhaps so far ahead of the Holy Spirit, we lose sight of him. And of course, if we shift into reverse, we may be in danger of backsliding. We must allow the Holy Spirit to set the pace that he wants us to walk. Impatience and disobedience towards the Spirit of God is like a flat tire. The Spirit will have to stop to fix it, causing unfortunate delays rather than to proceed to take us where he wants us to take us in a timely basis. Testing ourselves against Scripture and seeking alignment with God's word and proper response will bring change. Most of us, including myself, really don't like change. However, I've lived long enough that I found that the only thing constant in life is change. One of the benefits of self-examination will assist us to seek help and correction from the Holy Spirit. Thus, we may develop worthy habits, which brings forth godly discipline, resulting in God-favored character. Spirit-led examination and testing are only the first part of Paul's exhortation. The real question is not whether we will examine and test ourselves, but what will we do with the results that we find? Perhaps the answer can be found in the Old Testament in the book of Lamentations. I read from Lamentations chapter 3:40, where the Lord revealed, "Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord." Think about our country. Think about our culture today. Do we test ourselves according to Scripture? Do we examine ourselves according to Scripture? Have we returned to God in great strength? The desired outcome of our examining and testing is to determine the condition of one's faith. Faith is a gift from God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God." Many examples of Scripture provide notice that we may not have the ability, but we will always have the availability of the Holy Spirit to advance us in strengthening our faith. In addition, we have, according to Ephesians 3:17-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Think of that. Love of Christ, knowledge. Love of Christ, knowledge. I think I'll choose the love of Christ. Further, we have been blessed having a righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, according to Philippians 3:9. We have his imputed righteousness. May our walk come close to our position. With these formidable promises, we should not be timid in our pursuit of our daily advancement of the faith. Spending time in God's Word brings forth a primary question, as it did for me years ago. Are we content only to read the Word, or are we to commit ourselves to become students of the Word in our time in Scripture? I would like to provide a perspective or two, or an example of a commitment to God's Word for your consideration. About 8 years ago, I read an account of a World War II general by the name of William Harrison. Eisenhower called him his greatest field general in the European theater. As a plebe at West Point, Harrison became determined to make the Army his career. He pledged to himself, regardless of circumstances, that he would devote himself to read or study the Old Testament once a year and the New Testament four times. Old Testament once a year, New Testament four times. I have adopted this approach for myself. Old Testament law, New Testament. Old Testament history, New Testament. Old Testament wisdom, New Testament. Old Testament prophets, New Testament. Old Testament minor prophets. This self-commitment has served me well to lead me to examine my condition of my faith and my trust in the Lord, especially with the illuminating power of the Spirit to guide me. Another way to consider, perhaps a little different, what I just brought forth. If we would develop a commitment of reading or studying 3.3 chapters a day, 3.3 chapters a day. You will be able to complete the entire Bible in a year. Now think about it. If it took 1 hour per day to read 3.3, it may take longer, it may take less, but let's just 1 hour. You would invest 7 hours a week with 168 hours the Lord's given us. How can we avoid that? How can we adjust 7 hours in relation to the blessing of 168? God has given us a gift of faith, and the Apostle Paul has given us an exhortation to examine and test this gift of faith within ourselves. The Holy Spirit avails to all believers the power as the means of self-examination. According to Ephesians 1:1, saints are those who are faithful in Christ. We are all called to be saints. Are we all faithful to Christ? So do we pursue faith, or do we remain in the state of those who have no excuse? It is a decision we cannot avoid. We must remember that faith is a byproduct of grace. Paul reveals in Romans 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about obedience of, to bring about the obedience of faith. Therefore, our exercise of faith must be conducted within a spirit of obedience. Let me repeat that. Our faith must be conducted within a spirit of obedience, and if not done with a full heart, our faith before God may be considered substandard. Again, his standard, not mine. I'm going to bring a point of application and may trouble some, but nevertheless, I'd like to bring it forth. It's a point of application for our consideration. This point starts with a question: how do we respond to COVID-19? May I provide the following biblical perspective for thought? Not specifically for COVID-19, but in principle. When the disciples were with Jesus in a boat, a storm arises, and the disciples were in great fear. Jesus responds, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" When Jesus was going with Jairus to heal his daughter, a synagogue official approached them and said, "Your daughter has died." Jesus responded, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." When Jesus came walking on the sea to his disciples, he said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And consider this passage is found in Psalm 40-4. Psalm 40-4 says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie." Let me repeat that. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud or to those who go astray after a lie. We find in Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of a man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Take to heart the biblical definition found in Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I'm going to repeat that. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." At this time, I'd like to share a little story about faith. It's about a young French girl. In the early 1900s, there was this poor young French girl about 12 years of age, and she loved Jesus, and she spent much time in his word. Unfortunately, she developed a condition that resulted in her blindness. However, her grief and sadness were turned to joy when someone gave her the Gospel of Mark written in Braille. With undaunted resolve, she quickly gained sufficiency to read Mark much each day. However, after a time, she developed calluses and lost sensitivity in her fingers. She then cut off the calluses, thinking that she would regain her sensitivity. However, quite the opposite happened. She lost all feeling in her fingers. She opened up the Gospel of Mark to kiss it goodbye. Lo and behold, she regained a sensitivity in her lips. And as the story goes, she continued reading the Word of God with her lips until the end of her life. Before offering a benediction and closing prayer, I would like to share some thoughts concerning spending time in the Word. A man who refuses to read has no advantage over a man who cannot read. A man cannot be profoundly influenced by that which he does not know. We ought not to utilize our finite minds to eliminate those things of Scripture we don't understand, which were written by God who has an infinite mind. Brothers and sisters, what other source of perfect truth are available other than the inspired Word of God? And how can a man truly examine himself unless he has the God-given standard to which to do it? Expanding one's vocabulary gains much assistance by reading words of those who are more knowledgeable than himself, particularly those spoken by Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets. So, brothers and sisters, let us examine and test ourselves through the Word of God. Allow me to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you for testing our minds and hearts of those whom you love with the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Guide us to examine and test ourselves as well, to keep the signposts leading to faith and Christian maturity clearly seen by us through the eyes of our heart. Allow us to be in the world, not of the world. Please bring before us a remembrance that earthly suffering may proceed before entering into heavenly glories. Bring to our attention the words of Martin Luther, who said, "God will provide comfort for his children, but he does not want them to be comfortable." May our biblical studies and spiritual pursuits be laced with self-examination until we reach heaven's gates, where prayer will be exchanged by eternal praise. Before we go to communion, please allow me to bring forth a short benediction to our time today. I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Hebrews 12:1, let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.